As we said, this is the last in our little series, Equipped to Engage. After each little sermon, we've been thinking, having a question and answer time, and so the final one of those is today, pigeonhole.at, and the password is KBC10. So there are some questions that have already been coming in, and as I said earlier, Lisa and Simon will be joining me on the platform, will be thinking through. The question is, how can I have good conversations about Christianity? And that is a good question. We will be talking about that. But I'm going to be speaking now for the next 20 minutes, a bit wider than that, just on thinking about this series, engaging with people around us about what we believe, our faith. How can we do that? How can we walk the talk? How can we, as we think about these different questions about science and faith and the future and worldviews, how can we live lives that are attractive and that engage and share the good news of Jesus? It's right for me to say to us as church this morning that we're really, really grateful for Nick Durston, who's on my right, who preached a couple of times during this series, and then John Beveridge, who's on my left, sat in the corner there next to Grace. We're really grateful for Nick and John, who encouraged us as a church to think about this series, and who did so much work in preparation and contributed to it. And we're really grateful to the Lord for Nick and John. We want to say that together. So, and walking the talk, walking the talking. Imagine if I said to you this morning, all right, oh, I know a really good gym. Got a really great gym. It's got a lot of great equipment, treadmills and weight machines and rowing machines and exercise bikes. Really, really good gym. The equipment is just out of this world. Right? And also, they provide really good food. So they provide nutritious, you know, fruit, and really help you with your diet, great food in this gym. It's all free as well. And that the fitness instructors, the coaches there, they're really helpful. It's a great gym. You should come along with me. And so you say, oh yeah, I will. I could do with going to the gym. So we go to this gym, and we go to this room, and you enter into the room, and there is not a piece of fitness equipment in sight. Well, there's lots of couches and armchairs and people are sitting around. Some people are sleeping. They're watching the telly. Some people are just lying back playing, you know, video games with the Wii, you know, just swishing their arms back and forward playing tennis as they lie kind of on the couch. And there's food, but there's cheeseburgers and hamburgers and fries. There's lots of ice cream. There's sweets on the tables all around the place. And there's not a fitness instructor in sight. Now, you might say to me, that's my kind of gym. Right? That's the kind of gym I want to belong to. Right? But it's not the gym that I told you about, is it? It absolutely isn't. It's very, very different. I told you one thing. You got great answers. I was really able to kind of give a good argument. The gym, where you should go. But it's not what you saw. Especially what you saw in my life. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. As we think about sharing the good news of Jesus. Right. How do we do that with our lives? Just day by day, all that we are. How do we engage? So in our Bibles each week at Kinsing, we look at a bit of the Bible. We don't listen to and think about what someone up here has to say. It's what God has to say. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. So 1 Peter chapter 3, in a Bible you came with. It's good to bring a Bible to church if you know the Lord Jesus. That's a good thing to you. You can mark it up. You can take it away. You can write notes in it. But if you haven't done that, in these blue Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 3, it's on page 1219. Page 1219. The big numbers stand for chapters. The small numbers stand for verses. And we're in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the small number 13. Now, Peter, who is a follower of the Lord Jesus, he's writing to a group of Christians scattered across a large geographical area. And he's wanting to encourage them in following Jesus. They're suffering for it. It's hard following Jesus. There's opposition. People disagree with what they're saying. When they talk about a question like the future or who Jesus is, they get a lot of resistance. They're being slandered. They're suffering. But Peter is saying, keep going. In the midst of your suffering, keep going. And that's what he's saying right in the middle of this letter in chapter 3 as we dive into it. That's the context. Keep going. Keep sharing your faith. Keep looking for opportunities. So look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Peter says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Verse 18, number 18, look. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Now, Peter there, as he equips us, right, to engage, we think about all these questions that we've been looking at. He does it in a, all of life kind of way. That's what Peter does, right? He thinks about our lives, Peter engages with us, and he gets us thinking about the whole of our lives as we live for the Lord Jesus. And the first thing he gets us, I want to draw your attention to in that passage, it was there in the small number 15. You see it in the small number 15, is he says this. He says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. As we think about living for Jesus, like sharing the good news, ready to talk about creation and the world and the future, Peter says your heart is absolutely crucial. Your heart, like what you will, what you want, what's first in your heart, what's supreme. He says make that Jesus, right? As you live your life, may everything that you do, may your actions and so your priorities, your decisions, your work, your rest, your relationships, may they spring out of a love for Jesus. And when you share your faith, the good news of Jesus, when you want to talk to those around you, when a conversation does open up, have hearts that have Jesus as Lord, that put him first. Do you notice what he says above that? He says, do you see the sentence above that? He says, do not fear their threats. Don't be frightened. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Know Jesus as your King, as first in your heart. And do you know what, friends? That will guide and direct everything about your life. Something in all of our lives grips our hearts. Jesus teaches that. It is true about humans. All of us are longing and finding, Lisa said this earlier, finding our identity, our meaning in something. I could give loads of examples. Here's one. It might be a bit strange, but it's timely for this time of year. Holidays. Like some people can be gripped in their hearts by holidays. I just want the experience of a good holiday. Rest from work and responsibilities and chores around the house. I'm looking forward to my next holiday, man, where I can get rid of all these requirements on my life, the work, and I can just take a break. And I'm looking forward to that holiday. Will I be able to fly to that holiday? Will my flight be still there? That's a question we all have. And we plan and we look forward to. And when the holiday is over, you know what, people, when's my next holiday? How can I book my next holiday? And it's easy for us in our lives, isn't it? Just our hearts, that person's heart that I've just described is shaped by holidays, by rest, relaxation. That's what's supreme. That's what's governing their hearts. And Peter says, well, the Bible says, look, that'll enslave you. That'll ultimately deliver you nothing. The person who should reign in our hearts is Jesus. So when we think about good conversations, as we think about our relationships, as we think about walking the talk, living out our faith, let's do that with Jesus filling our hearts, the Holy Spirit directing our hearts, God the Holy Spirit showing us how to live, changing our behaviors, transforming us, filling us with love and joy and peace. So, Peter says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. But he also says and talks about our heads. Not just hearts loving Jesus, but heads speaking for Jesus. So look again at the small number 15. See how he continues. Peter says, always, from this heart that loves Jesus, look what's next. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So Peter talks here about our heads, about what we think, about what we believe. That is really, really important. And Peter says here, be prepared. You see that? Be prepared. I was a cub for many years in Abergavenny with the toggle and everything. And cubs had to what? Do you remember what the cubs' motto was? That was be prepared. You did this and you were prepared. And so you would learn how to start a fire and you'd earn your fire badge, prepared to make a fire. And then you'd open a tin of beans and cook the beans. And then you've got your cookery badge for opening the tin of beans. You're a cook. And then you cut your thumb on the bean can and you put a plaster on it and you got your first aid badge because you knew how to. So you were always prepared, right, as a cub. And Peter says here, as Christians, hearts loving you, we should be prepared in our lives, in our conversations with those around us to give a reason for the hope that we have. That means knowing what the Bible says. That means knowing what we believe. That means as we thought about these issues of science and faith, and about how do we know the Bible's true, and about the future, and about suffering, it means knowing why people object to what we believe. And knowing those arguments well, reading well, thinking carefully, listening well to what other people say. Not seeing them as targets, but seeing as people that we engage in genuine conversation, listening, loving, knowing where they're coming from, and knowing how to reply. We might not always have the answers to all of their questions. Sometimes we might say, I just don't know. Let me go away and find out and come back to you. Rebecca Manley Pippin, in her brilliant book, Out of the Salt Shaker, that's one of the things she really commends in loving relationships. When we're in discussion, sometimes they're saying, look, I don't know. I don't know everything. That's a really good question. Let me go and think some more and get back to you. We want to think and be prepared to give a reason. And the Greek word that Peter uses there is apologia. An apology. And he doesn't mean forgiveness. I was saying sorry. He means a defense. To give a defense, a reason, an apologetic for what we believe. So Peter says, look, walking the talk, living as Christians, thinking about good conversations, sharing our faith. We want to do it from hearts of love. We want to do it from heads that love and talk and engage and that understand what people are saying. Okay. It's not that box. So finally, Peter talks about our hands. So do you see that? You see that at the beginning? Look at verse 13. Verse 13 in the passage. You see Peter talks about doing good. He talks about doing good to those around us. All the way through and this letter, there is this theme of being eager to do good, to live lives that serve and love those around us. Have a look at verse 16. He says it again. He says, speak with a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Jesus Christ. And he says it in verse 17. It's better to, if it's God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. That word good, agathos, means someone who is bold and courageous and committed to serve. I love that little phrase. When we think about doing good, right? That word agathos is someone who is bold and courageous and committed, hearts full of love to do good. So we practically want to reach out and love our neighbor. We don't see people as targets. We don't see people as just people that we kind of like, items that we kind of want to blar out what we believe and then walk away, hand a tract and then walk away. We want to love people, serve people practically. Take this issue as an example. This symbol here was the week that we looked at the question of suffering. What's suffering in the world? And there's all kinds of ways people can suffer, aren't there? Just think of the question of loss. People can lose their work, employment, or have no work. That's a way to suffer. That's a great cause of loss. Think of the death of a family member or a friend. That's another element of loss, isn't it? If you think about it, loss, something being taken away, a person, something that's dear to us, important to us, that can have a massive impact in our lives. Someone who has suffered loss. Now, that might be someone that you know, like a friend or a family member, a neighbor, okay? And we want to come, we want to have hearts of love. Of course we do. We want to have hearts of compassion that says, oh, I feel for that person and feels with the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we do. And we want to be able to have minds that are ready to speak about our faith, speak about our hope when the time is appropriate. When there is the right opportunity, of course you want to do that. But we also want to have hands that serve that person, that spends time with them, just listens with them, weeps with them, goes for a walk with them, takes a meal around to them, remembers that the month that has passed, remembers the anniversary that has passed, that loves, that is a friend. Just as James shared with those young people, that is kind, that sees the person in their need and ministers practically to them. Yes, we want to love Jesus with our hearts. We want to serve Jesus with our heads. We want to love those around us with our hands, practically demonstrating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Caring for those around us practically, doing good, courageously, boldly, committed to doing good, to helping those around us. So when we think about walking the talk, when we think about engaging in conversation, the Bible has this whole person view of that. And not just a debate, not an argument to win, but a heart that loves, that speaks, that listens well to people, that engages in real relationships. Someone might say, I don't believe a word of what you're saying. The conversation might absolutely die. You still love that person. Hang out with them. Welcome them into your life. Welcome them into your home. Now, this is called, like, a slightly complicated, it's integrity, isn't it? This week, friends, right, look at what has happened to Boris. Now, I'm not going to speak to you now about being conservative or Labour or liberal, right? We pray for Boris. The Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. Boris has had a tough week and he has resigned. He's stepping down as being Prime Minister. Now, there were all kinds of issues that got Boris to that place, wasn't there? But one of the things that happened was the whole issue of Partygate. So Boris stood behind a lectern a little bit like this, and he said in the midst of COVID, listen, COVID is really bad. You can't hang out with friends and family. You can't spend time with them. You can't have food with them. You've got to remain socially distanced. You've got to remain in your own homes. You can't have parties. You certainly can't sit down and have food and drink with those who, that's what Boris said. And then we saw pictures, didn't we, of Boris in the garden of number 10, for example, really close to people eating and drinking and hanging out. And all of us thought, but Boris, what you said doesn't match with how you live. God has made us. You might, You might not be somebody who follows Jesus, okay, and it's great to see you. And I welcome, please come back. Stay for some food after this service. I think you'd at least agree with me this, that in us is this inbuilt sense of justice, of integrity. When someone does that, says one thing, but does another, we know it. And it's a problem with us. The problem is when we point a finger at Boris, there are three pointing back at us, aren't there? We know that we too will say one thing, but do another. In many ways, we are just like Boris. I'm like that. First and foremost in this building. But do you know what? There was one person who lived that absolutely wasn't. Right? There was one person who lived, and what he did always matched with what he said. In every way. Jesus, he walked the walk and he talked the talk. You read the accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're somebody who's down, I'm not so sure. I challenge you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Come and talk to me about it after you've done so. You'll find that Jesus there, everything that he did, everything that he said matched with how he lived. And that made Jesus the perfect way back to God. Look at how our passage ended in verse 18. It said these words, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's us, to bring us to God. That's what Jesus did. He was put to death in the body. Look at how it continues. But made alive in the spirit. It's through trusting in Jesus that we find forgiveness with God, the way back to God, and that we are able to live lives of integrity. Never perfectly, but increasingly. Lives that match what we say with what we do. That's how we live lives that have hearts that love and mouths, heads that are ready to speak and hands that are ready to serve. We do it through the Lord Jesus. And finally, before Lisa and Simon come and join me on the platform, did you notice that Jesus willingly suffered? He suffered for obeying God the Father. And as we live our lives, as we look to engage in conversations, as we look to go out and share the good news and live out the good news and serve those around us, brothers and sisters, there will be times of suffering. There will be times of difficulty. People will slander us. There'll be malicious talk. People will insult us. Perhaps in school, you might be the only person in your class that stands up against abortion, for example, or that stands up for speaking and caring for Boris with tenderness and with compassion and with gentleness. When everyone's against Boris, you might be the only one who says, hey, look, I think we should give the guy a break. He does things wrong. We all do things. We all do things wrong. We must be willing, as we live out the good news, to suffer for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus. And to do that with gentleness and respect. One of the things that our passage speaks about is how we live our lives, how we talk, should always be with lives and words of compassion and mercy and grace and truth. So, there it is. As we think about this series as it ends, as we think about how we engage with those around us, not least in conversations, let's do it with hearts loving Jesus. Let's do it with hands and heads speaking for Jesus. And let's do it with hands serving the Lord Jesus.